We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, before we get to Coach Brian Billick, the New York Mets have made a trade.
Tremendous.
According to John Heyman, Jake Mariznick of the Houston Astros is coming to Queens. Don't know what the Mets are sending back. But I am going to give you a very succinct scouting report on Mariznick.
Because you said this guy's name. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell this guy is. I'm going to be honest with you.
And Ernie, tell me if I'm right, if there's a good description, a cheaper version of Juan Lagares. Good defensive center fielder.
Gets hurt all the time?
No, not that part. Good glove, not much of a bat, right-handed hitter. Now, here's a concern.
What?
Guy at 233 last year.
Oh, my God.
That's with the trash cans. What is he hit without the trash
cans? And he's 28, so you don't see a lot of room for improvement.
Did he hit any home runs?
Yeah, he had 10 home runs last year. But no, in all seriousness, he's got a good glove. And I think that there is some importance to that because the Mets needed a center fielder on their roster.
On the day that the Met fan is rejoicing on the Wilpons selling the team, the Wilpons is showing you, hey, wait, hold on, we made a move. We got Mariznick.
You don't need Marte.
Come on, who needs Mookie Betts? Stop.
Well, but in fairness, I look at Mariznick. Now, maybe the Mets don't, but I do as a fourth outfielder. Okay. And he's fine as a fourth outfielder.
Maybe he'll turn out to be Jed Lowry and, like, not play the whole year.
God.
Maybe, right? Now he could be.
Costs a lot less. I think he's going to make about $3 million this year. But he's a good defensive center fielder, right-hand hitter. He's been with the Astros
baby.
For a long time.
Surprised they didn't give McNeil up for him. What a disaster.
Look, it's a disaster if he's the opening day center fielder, if it's just filling out your roster, because they knew to need a center fielder on their roster.
No, I understand.
Brandon Nimmo's not a center fielder.
Let's bring Coach Billick in to right the ship.
Coach Brian Billick, how are you, sir?
Hi, Coach.
How are we doing, guys? I'm sorry. I got no help for you.
We need a lot of help. We need a lot of help in that regard.
So you're telling me you haven't heard of a fourth outfielder named Jake Mariznick? No one has. Most people listening probably haven't.
What can I tell you?
Wasn't he like a punt returner for the Ravens one year?
Yeah. And that player to be named later.
Right, there you go, Coach, right?
You know, I was saying this to Joe on Monday about the Ravens, who right now feel like the best team in football. They've certainly put that resume together being the best team in football. And maybe I'm putting too much stock in this, but in a year in which the kicking is so bad. I mean, the Patriots are about to sign whoever it is, their fifth place kicker. For whatever reason, kicking is so down. The Ravens have Justin Tucker. And it feels like more than ever, Coach, this matters, that the Ravens have not only Lamar Jackson playing at a high level, not only a running game that goes for like 190 every game, not only a top-flight defense, but they've got that weapon where late in the game, if they need a field goal to tie it or win it, they got money in the bank in Justin Tucker. It feels like an added weapon that the Ravens have right now.
Yeah, they don't just appear to be the best team in the NFL right now. They are the best team in the NFL for the very reasons you're talking about across the board. I mean, Lamar Jackson aside, and you can't just put him aside. I mean, he's spectacular in what he's doing. But their balance on offense, playing really, I think, the best defense in the National Football League right now. And then you throw in Justin Tucker, that field position changing ability that all you've got to do is get across the 40. And what that allows you to continue to chip away at that lead that lends to, I mean, their typical box score is between 35 and 36 minutes time of possession. Mm. I mean, that's you can't overcome that. Even if you are good in the red zone and keep them out of the red zone or keep them out of touchdowns, they're going to get three guaranteed and they're going to chew the clock up in doing it. And then you get back on the field and you go three and out. So they've got the whole thing going in Baltimore, and it's kind of fun to watch.
Well, and they got an interesting game this week because they go to Buffalo to play the Bills, who are coming off that Thanksgiving Day really beatdown of the Dallas Cowboys. And what's your thoughts on it? Do you give Buffalo any shot to win this game, Coach?
Sure, it's in Orchard Park, and Buffalo, they're the darling of the league right now, everybody, because they're a good feel good story. Keep in mind, Buffalo is in the top five in the league when you combine both offensive and defensive rankings. So this is a good, complete team. And they've got a young, maturing quarterback that seems to be getting better with every week. The challenge, anybody that plays the Ravens, and you saw it last week as well, where you have to give San Francisco a great deal of credit for playing the way they did. And again, even withstanding the West Coast going to East Coast and that whole dynamic, which is difficult. But they played the Ravens the way you have to play the Ravens to hope to win, notwithstanding they were vulnerable and they let Lamar Jackson get outside contained a couple times. And you just can't do that, which means you got to play a plus one defense. You got to stack the box, secure the edges. Everybody's got to play very disciplined, take their gaps, don't let them outside the edges. Now, you do that at risk because you got to play man if you're going to do that. Mm. And they have some guys that, yeah, he can get the ball down the field to these guys. So it's simple, but it's not easy in terms of how you've got to play this Raven group. And it does leave you vulnerable to do that. But if you don't and you let Lamar Jackson get outside the edge, you lose, period. Game, set, match, it's over.
How, and it's an outside chance, but Buffalo, if Buffalo goes out and wins all their games, and I don't think they will based on the schedule, they could win this division. Where is your level of concern for the New England Patriots? Because it does feel like every year they hit some kind of road bump, they're questioned, and then they end up in the championship game and most times the Super Bowl. Where are you right now with New England?
Yeah, we've been here before, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've seen this movie. And I do my radio shows on Thursdays, and everywhere I'm talking to, they want to talk about this. And I'm underlining, okay, what are we hearing? The New England Patriots have fallen to 10-2.
Right.
Oh my God, the world is over because they're 10-2. This is the New England Patriots. Now, notwithstanding that, they're having some issues offensively. They don't seem to be able to create the same identity that they've done before. Their offensive line's been in flux, has been since training camp. And so, this is very real. And the dynamic has changed because all along it was, okay, Ravens and Kansas City and Mahomes is back and Houston's playing well and, you know, Buffalo's stepping up. That's great. But can they go through Foxborough and win to get to the Super Bowl? Well, that's changing now. That now the question is, can New England go through Baltimore or Houston or Kansas City collectively or individually and still get back to the Super Bowl? That's a legitimate question.
Mm. Yeah, no question. Again, we're talking to Coach Brian Billick, talking football with him. All right. Who wins the division that nobody seems to want to win, Coach, and that's the NFC East? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, God bless America. The 7-9, 8-8 can win the division.
Yep, yep.
And I must say, too, in the NFC, which is fascinating to me, because you talk about the playoff field that we have now, and I think we're pretty well set. I think the playoff field is set. The seeding obviously will change. And notwithstanding the Dallas-Philadelphia swap out, one of the two is going to end up being in that fourth spot. But this tells you the strength of the NFC, that the fifth seed could very well be a 13-3 or 14-2 San Francisco 49er and Seattle Seahawk team. I mean, that and they've got to go on the road.
Yep.
We could get into the whole reseeding the playoff thing, which I believe we should do. But notwithstanding that tells you the strength in a group in the NFC that top to bottom, top flight quarterbacks, including two future Hall of Famers in Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. So yeah, both divisions are getting real interesting. I think our playoff field is set in both, notwithstanding the seeding and where it ends up. And it's a fascinating dynamic between the two.
Well, and this happens every couple of years. We all remember a 7-9 team hosting a playoff game and winning that playoff game, the Marshawn Lynch game. So this happens. Like, there's going to be a year, an anomaly, if you will, where a team wins a division at 8 wins or 7 wins, and there's a 12 or 13 win team. It's a wild card team. So what would you do? You're basically saying, forget if you win the division. Let's just go by win-loss record, and that's how we should seed our playoff teams?
Yeah, the prevailing mentality is, no, if you win a division, you deserve to have a home playoff game. And my mentality is more, the NFL is all about competitive balance. And whether it's from the draft and changing the order of who drafts when and doing everything to cap, everything's to give everybody an even chance. Well, if you can win a division at 7-9, at 8-8, God bless you, you've already gotten your payoff. Okay, it just happens you be in the wrong division. You otherwise wouldn't be in the playoffs if it weren't for the fact that we have these divisions. So, yeah, let's, in all fairness and this competitive balance, let's reseed this thing. Plus, what it will do is it will keep teams playing further into the entire schedule, because if I, let's say I'm Seattle and now I'm one game back of San Francisco and I can't change my fifth or sixth seed,
right,
then I'm going to sit players down in that last game or the next to the last game. But if I can affect my seeding, if I can jump to third or fourth in my playoff seeding by playing to the end, you're going to get more teams playing their entire roster all the way to the end.
Mm. Who do you think is the best team in the NFC right now? You got that big game. In fact, you got the Saints and the Niners this week. But who do you think is the best team, Coach?
I can make a case for anybody in there except for Dallas or Philly across the board. I really can. The balance of Minnesota,
right.
You're talking about the second-place NFC West team being maybe the fifth seed. I think Seattle and New Orleans at home are going to be tough to beat. That's the challenge here for either one of them. Whichever of those ends up with the one seed, to me, that makes them the best. I don't know if that makes them the best team necessarily. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, you could make that juxtaposition. But I think the team that ends up with the number one seed is going to have the best chance because it's so difficult. San Francisco, not so much. Going into San Francisco, hard to play. But going to New Orleans, going to Seattle for a championship game, I'm going to put all my money on that number one seed.
Right. Talking to Coach Brian Billick, one of these stories that's very under the radar, and I think they're under the radar because they're the Tennessee Titans, is Ryan Tannehill. I mean, this guy, I think we all assumed, all right, he's destined to be a career backup. He takes over from Marcus Mariota. They're 5-1. He's thrown 12 touchdown passes to 3 interceptions. He's playing excellent football. What do you make of the Ryan Tannehill renaissance we're witnessing in Tennessee?
Well, one of the toughest things to do is to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going on around him. And obviously what was going on around in Miami wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And it's much better in Tennessee. They're playing good defense, good special teams play. They can run the ball. Plus, I think he is also now playing – he's not playing as the number one draft choice of that team.
Right.
The pressure – he just – you know, this is the guy they picked up and to back up Marcus Mariota. So he's not playing with that pressure that I've got to perform at this certain level. It's all got to be on me. He's playing much more relaxed. And that change of venue, we could very well say the same thing with Marcus Mariota, ends up wherever he goes, changes that dynamic and works for him. I think it's a good story. And Ryan Tannehill is playing very, very well right now.
Yeah, no, he's playing. You know, one thing, though, Coach, and I say this all the time about you look at these guys that are supposed to be franchise quarterbacks, whether it's Mitchell Trubisky, whether it's Carson Wentz, whether it's Marcus Mariota. I'll even throw Jameis Winston in there because, you know, he's very up and down. I mean, you look at it and you say, wow, do I really have this franchise quarterback for the next amount of years? And that really, you make that mistake, and that really sets you back, Coach.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's hard to survive as a coach if you miss on a first-round quarterback. You know, if you do, you end up doing a radio show in New York on a Thursday afternoon. Instead of coaching.
Well,
you did win a
Super Bowl, though, Coach.
Yeah, but I can attest to that. Yeah, it's very difficult. And particularly when you take a first round, I'm looking at the numbers right here. I've studied this a great deal. It's a 50-50 crapshoot at best. When you take what you think, when you're talking about a first round pick, certainly a 1 through 15, you don't take them unless you have the conviction. Yes, this is doesn't have to be a Hall of Famer, but this needs to be a franchise quarterback, or we're wrong, and someone's going to lose their job over this one. If not, and it is a 50-50. I don't care who you are.
Right,
I don't care what your draft record is. It's a crapshoot at best.
No question.
No, it is.
Are the New York Giants the worst team in football right now?
Oh, God. That's a hard one. There's a lot of competition for that spot.
Yes.
You know,
we know.
In Cincinnati and Miami, although they're rallying around a little bit. Yeah, I mean, the good thing is they have the least – let me put it this way. They don't have as far to go as, say, Miami and Cincinnati, because I think they're set at – I think Daniel Jones is going to be a good quarterback. Now, we've got a ways to go, and he's got some improvement to make. But I think they can feel good about – I don't think the game is too big for Daniel Jones. This is really all you can really ask coming out of a rookie year. Now we'll see how far he goes with it. And you got Saquon Barkley, and you can wrap some things around this pretty quickly to get good. Cincinnati and Miami have to solve their quarterback issue.
Right.
Doesn't matter what else you do around it. So I would say in that regard, maybe New York's a little bit better ahead.
All right, how about the other New York team? What do you think of that quarterback? You know, and of course they just lost to the Bengals, and of course lost to an 0-7 Dolphin team as well as only they can. But what do you think about that quarterback?
Yeah, you know, Darnold shows signs, kind of like we were talking about. You know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, which is understandable. You know, Bill Walsh firmly believed that you're going to know by about the 23rd, 24th, 25th start of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may happen in whatever year it is, depends on when he starts.
Right.
But if you don't see it by that 24th, 25th start, it's probably not there. So we're kind of probably closing in on this. I mean, he's been injured, and it's been up and down. I get it. And we see some inconsistency, which I get. But we need to see this solidify a little bit to decide whether Sam Darnold is indeed, which side of that 50-50 equation we talk about, that he truly sits.
What do you expect? Because I think Monday night's going to be bizarre. You know, Eli Manning is likely to play quarterback for the Giants. It certainly felt like we were never going to see this again. It's on a Monday night. It's against the Eagles. He's actually going to have his full complement of offensive weapons. It looks like they're relatively healthy. What do you expect from Eli Manning on Monday?
Yeah, I expect Eli Manning to look like Eli Manning. And if he's surrounded by the right people, he can do some things. Eli can still play. And it could be a good feel story. It'd be a great way for him to kind of go out, particularly there in New York, regardless of what he does going forward. And with the Eagles, you know, they just got their butt kicked by a 37-year-old Fitzpatrick. So, you know, having the old guy come in may not be what they want to see right now. I think it's good. It doesn't really matter because obviously that's not the direction they're going to go.
Right.
But certainly he and the organization and the fans could feel good about it all if he comes in and plays well for a couple games and everybody feels good about it.
Mm. Coach, tell us about what you're doing with Roman.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for a while. It's a great asset for people to check. If they haven't, they need to go to GetRoman.com. We've talked about how men over 40 haven't been to a doctor in 2 years, and if you do make an appointment, it takes a month. And nowadays, it's the holidays. I'll wait till after the first year. There's too much going on, and you have too much of a resource. You go to GetRoman.com, U.S. licensed physicians, pharmaceuticals that you're guaranteed you know they're the real deal. 80% of the pharmaceuticals out there are counterfeit. Now, this is dangerous stuff. So use GetRoman.com, get it dressed, whatever it is you need to get dressed. You know it's done professionally in the privacy at home. It's a great resource at GetRoman.com.
Mm. Coach, always a pleasure. You be well.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
sounds
good. Coach. Brian Billick talking football with him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.